Happy Tuesday. My name is Alan.
My name's Nick.
And welcome into the dungeon.
Well, here we are. Last week, we left you on quite the cliffhanger.
Yes, I've been a week waiting.
Just over a week.
Just over a week waiting.
Just to remind our listeners, we're jumping straight back into the action in the battle between True Shrubberies and the Dragon Cultists. We're going to start off by finding out whether True's polymorph spell has had the desired effects. True will then take the rest of his turn, which is movement and perhaps a bonus action. Then we jump over to Murkub, who's engaged in hand-to-hand combat with one of the dragon cultists that was firing a bow from within the circular camp. And then we jump over to Favian, then Fenner, Caspus, the big bad boy, the two cultists with bows, and then back to Shu. So that will be the order of proceedings.
After making us wait for a whole week, I expect the polymorph to have worked.
So here we go. The dice roll for this big bad boy was a 14.
Plus
4.
Damn it. I thought that was the whole roll. Yeah.
What was your spell save? Because I didn't check it.
My spell save, 16.
Oh, by a measly 2.
Yeah.
So no, he does not turn into a chicken, I'm afraid to say.
Sorry to disappoint you all for waiting, but it's what it is. Okay, so it's still my move, right?
That's correct.
Then I'm gonna stand up with half my movement.
Okay.
With my bonus action, I'm gonna drink one of the potions of greater healing that I have.
As this is a bonus action, you gotta roll for it.
Alright, that's a 4d4 plus 4, here we go. Full healing, come on. That's a total of 11 healing for me.
Alright, and with your remaining movements, are you doing anything?
Yes, I am moving away from there towards Fenna.
Just to give some context, this part of the battle is taking place pretty much where the two guards were. The True flew over as an owl. With that, then it's over to Murkub, who's engaged in mano a mano with one of the cultists.
Okay, hand to hand. Murkub, still raging, is going to try and slash at this cultist. Total of 21 to hit?
Yeah, that certainly hits.
And that's a total of 8 damage. Now he needs to roll Constitution, was it?
That's correct.
Because of his scimitar of wounding.
Yeah, he's failed. He's now wounded.
All right.
That means as from the next turn, he will start to take damage from his wound. Special thanks to Anthony for donating that weapon to True Shrubberies.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Is Murkub doing anything else?
Actually, that's an extra +2 to the damage. Sorry, I forgot that he was raging. And he's going to stay there for now.
All right, so that's a total of 10 damage then. Okay, with Murkub's turn over to the top of the round proper and over to Favian.
Favian is going to stand up.
Alrighty. He stood up. He's facing this heavily armored cultist.
Luckily for me, we forgot last week that when you're prone and you're attacked by an enemy in melee range, the enemy rolls with advantage. So apologies for getting that one wrong, but thankfully for me, it meant that Favian was able to dodge those attacks. He's going to try and lunge forward and pierce the paladin's armor, if that's even possible. Maybe find a little gap between his armor to pierce. 17 to hit.
He parries.
Damn it!
Favian's attack with his sword.
As he parries, he goes again and slashes down, trying to cut his throat. No, that's a natural one.
A natural one?
Yeah.
With that attack, this cultist bashes his sword arm with his shield, and Favian's sword drops to the snow.
Okay, can Favian quickly pick it up?
Why, what's going on here?
He wants to use an action surge.
Very well, I'll allow it.
Let's go. Ah! A 3. So yeah, that doesn't hit. And his last attack, 20 to hit.
That does hit.
Oh, shit. His AC must be really high. That's a total of 11 damage from Fading.
Actually, before we decide whether that has actually hit or not, I just remembered that this cultist had that ward cast on him. Fabian needs to do a wisdom saving throw first.
9 total.
You do not hit.
Damn.
Is Fabian doing anything else?
He wants to try and use his bonus action for second wind, where he heals a bit.
Yeah, he can use his second wind.
That's 1d10. 8, not too bad, plus his fighter level, which is 8, so a total of 16 healing for Fabian.
Ooh, not too bad. He's actually managed to heal half of the damage he's taken.
That's good.
Or actually, just over half. He's now taken 14 points of damage. On that note, then, it's over to Fenner and Caspus. Just a reminder, Fenner is currently sat atop Caspus on that magical clockwork saddle that allows creatures to ride him.
Fenner is gonna cast one last hurrah. She's gonna cast Guiding Bolt as a level 3 spell, the last one she has. Come on, Fenner, don't let me down.
Wisdom saving throw first, please.
Damn you, I forgot. It's a natural 20, if that makes a difference.
Oh.
I rolled the natural 20. Would that be for the wisdom saving throw, or would that be for the actual hit?
I'll say, because you look so excited, that can be for the hit.
Total of 6.
All right, Fenner has to use her spell now on a different creature. Fortunately for her, the two other cultists are within range.
Good, at least it doesn't go totally to waste. She's gonna attack the cultist that still hasn't been attacked.
Okay.
Okay, that's 66. I wish I would have hit that guy. It's 25 doubled to 50.
Wow. 50 HP of damage in this guy. This cultist lights up like a Christmas tree with this radiant light and then just explodes into bits all over the place.
Good one, Fenner, but unfortunate that it wasn't the big boy.
Yeah, that would have done some serious damage to the big boy. Is Fenner doing anything else?
No, she remains there.
Caspus doing anything?
No, he's just staying there as well.
Then it's over to the big boy. He's staring at Fabian's pitiful attempts to cut him down. He raises his sword. He's going to try and slash down Fabian. It's a total of 18 on the roll.
Yeah, that hits.
Ooh, that's max damage. It's a total of 11 slashing damage on Fabian. And this cultist's arm starts to glow again, with these wisps coming off. The magic carries on through into the sword. Fabian feels this surge of magic rushing through him, causing him an extra... ooh, 8? And 1. An extra 9 damage from the Divine Smite. This cultist now raises his arm again. We're going to try and slash Fabian with his second attack. It's a total of 17.
That just hits.
Ooh, poor Fabian. It's another 7 slashing damage this time. Fabian's now taken 43 HP of damage. How many has he got left, Al?
12 HP.
That ward that this cultist had cast now dissipates and fades away. Now we jump across the battlefield to the cultist that's engaged with Murkub. From under his cloak, he pulls out this horn. That's the end of his turn. We're now over to Shrew.
I'm gonna cast Mass Cure Wounds. A wave of healing energy washes out from a point of my choice within range. It's 60 feet. I can choose up to 6 creatures in a 30-foot radius sphere centered on that point. Each target regains hit points equal to 3d8 plus my spellcasting ability modifier. It's my only level 5 spell I can cast.
Pulling out the big guns.
Well, I don't have a choice. Okay, the point at which I cast it is gonna be near me, really, so that I am able to heal Fenner, Fabian, myself, and Caspus if he needs it, which I don't think he does. Fortunately, it's not big enough to get Murkub as well, but it's what it is. That's my 3d8 that I'm gonna roll. Okay, that's a 1, an 8, and a 5, so 14 healing. Plus 4, so a total of 18 healing to each one of us. It could have been a bit better, but it's something.
Is Shrew doing anything else?
No, I am staying there. I'm staying put where I am.
Then the action moves over to Murkub.
Murkub is gonna try and finish off this guy that just blew his horn. 22 to hit.
Yeah, that definitely hits.
That's 9 damage for the attack, plus an extra 4 for the wounding. So a total of 13 damage.
This cultist with his horn at his lips and his eyes wide open in terror as he realizes that the tide of the battle is turning, loses his concentration as Murkub's scimitar slices across his throat and he collapses into a bloody pile at his feet. Is Murkub using his movement?
Yeah, he turns around and makes haste towards the big cultist. If he has his orcish aggression, he wants to use that to close the gap as much as he can.
Yeah, he gets right up on this guy's business. I assume he wants to flank him?
Yes, he does.
Then at the end of Murkub's turn, it's now over to Fabian.
Fabian, undeterred, wants to carry on attacking and trying to finish this guy.
This guy, who I remind you, has only taken 3 points of damage so far.
You don't need to remind me. I'm well aware that we have barely hit him. This time it's with advantage, as he's being flanked by Murkub and Fabian. 15 plus 8, 23.
That does it.
Yes. That's a total of 13 damage from his first attack. And he's going to attack again with his second attack thingy, whatever it's called. 14 to hit, doesn't hit, I imagine.
No, it does not.
No. And that's his turn right there.
Then we're back with Fenner and Caspus, who are just 20 feet away from this action.
Fenna's determined to hit this guy with a guiding bolt. She's gonna go again, second level spell slot. She's gonna try and hit this time. Oh, Fenna, another natural 20.
Ooh, MVP.
That's 5d6 this time. Bit worse than before, 15 doubled to 30 radiant damage.
Not too shabby at all.
Remind the listeners again how much damage we have dealt to this enemy.
Significantly more now.
Good.
He's looking a little short of breath now.
Really?
Is Caspus doing anything?
Not yet. He's staying there.
This guy's winded, but looking a little pissed as he raises his sword with fury, slashing down on Fabian for an unnatural 20.
Yeah, that hits.
It's a total of 9 slashing damage on Fabian.
Ooh, Fabian!
Fabian's down to 21 HP. He's following this up with his second attack. That's the same result again, an unnatural 20.
Wow.
And the same damage again.
Wow.
Another 9 damage. That brings Fabian down to 12 HP.
Fabian.
And from his cloak, he pulls this bottle. And as a bonus, he's going to drink a potion.
Oh, damn you. I would have found that on your dead body if you would have died before. Who bought this guy a potion? I want to know which of our listeners donated a potion to the enemy.
Actually, that's quite an interesting concept.
No, don't go there.
For the shop. And perhaps potions can be donated to the DM as well.
I don't like that idea.
Keep things interesting. All right, here goes. That's a total of 16 HP restored. Over to Shrew. What you gonna do?
Shrew ponders for a second, hesitates, but then, seeing as this is starting to get rather worrying, decides to go with it, and he casts Blight on the cultist. Necromantic energy washes over him, draining moisture and vitality from him. He must make a constitution saving throw. Constitution time!
Been a while since we heard that song. You'd be relieved to know after last week's episode that he is not proficient in constitution saving throws.
I was hoping for that.
Ooh, it's a total of 3.
Yes! All right. Okay, he takes 8d8 necrotic damage. It's a level 4 spell.
8d8 necrotic damage. Brutal.
Here goes. That's a total of 30 damage.
Ooh, 60 damage between you and Fenner in the space of a round.
Yeah, but he healed half of Fenner's damage, so he's still coping, I think.
He looks seriously wounded and seriously hurt now.
Okay. It's looking good then. That's my turn. Although I do want to shout if I'm able to. Do not kill him! We need to ask him questions!
Then it's over to Murkob.
Murkob wants to go into a frenzy. Basically, he can now make a single melee weapon attack as a bonus action.
But will suffer a point of exhaustion at the end of the battle, yes?
That's right. He's going to attack first, his normal attack, and he wants to do it as non-lethal damage. 23 to hit.
That hits.
He's going to try and hit him with the hilt of the scimitar as to not kill him, so he wouldn't trigger the wounding effect. That's a 2 plus 4 for 6 damage.
He's still standing.
He's going to do it again with his bonus action. That's a 12, which doesn't hit.
That's correct.
And that's his turn right there.
Then it's over to Fabian.
Fabian, having heard a shrew, is going to do the same. Use his hilt, following Murkob's example, to try and knock out this guy. 17 to hit.
Does not hit.
Damn it. He goes again. 19 to hit.
Just hits.
Oof, all right. That's a total of 12 damage.
This cultist, having been hit by Murkob, had turned his head to view his new attacker, and Fabian, taking advantage, conks him on the back of his helmet with the pommel of his sword, and he crumples into the snow, out cold.
Good, because I just realized I wasn't rolling with advantage again, and the guy was flanked. But oh well, good, we got there in the end, yes.
That's the last of the cultists down in this fight. But you will recall that there was a sharp blast of a horn. So I'm going to say you're still in initiative order for now.
Fabian wants to use his bonus action now to drink one of the regular potions that we found. So that's 2d4 plus 2. For a total of 5 healing. He then just wants to stay put to see what their next plan of action is.
Brace yourselves! We did it, but I'm going to give you a serious talking to, Shrew.
Shrew does not reply, just looks down at the snow.
Like a naughty child that knows he is wrong.
Yes. Or maybe as someone that's thinking of how to put the blame back on Fabian.
It's over to Fenner and Caspus.
Fenner and Caspus are going to go up to the cultist, the one we just knocked out, the leader.
Okay.
And she's going to try and proceed to put the unconscious cultist on Caspus's back. If she is able to do that, she then wants to continue walking with Caspus towards the closest tent and hide in it.
That gets Caspus and Fenner to about 10 feet away from the entrance to the tent.
It goes without saying, but Fenner kind of says to the others to follow her.
So the rest of the round passes with Shrew Shrubberies dashing towards the closest tent. So at this point, Fenner, Caspus and the cultists have got into the tent, and following her lead, Shrew follows, followed by Murkob. And as Fabian's running towards the tent, give me a perception check for Fabian.
Total of 3.
It's going to be a tight squeeze. But Fabian manages just about to squeeze into this tent, along with Shrew Shrubberies. As you've all got into the tent using movement, you didn't need to dash for this last one, you can hold an action.
Okay, those that are closer to the entrance of the tent would probably want to hold their action. So I'd say Fabian and Murko probably would have their weapons ready in case someone comes close, they would attack.
Okay.
Shrew would have been rummaging through his bag looking for the trusty old hunting knife that Vincent gifted him.
Oh yeah, the one you took from him when he got knocked out and then tried to give back.
Yeah. He wants to take that, get next to the cultist, and put it to his throat.
Ooh, dark Shrew.
Yeah, he's just gonna stay there with a knife at his throat. Not really holding an action, but that's what he's doing.
All right. Give me a perception check for Shrew.
22.
Shrew can hear a number of footsteps running from the distance, from the east of the tent. I'm going to allow Shrew to say something brief to his shrubberies as he's hearing these footsteps.
With that perception check, though, would I know what kind of footsteps they are? Are there two-legged creatures, four-legged creatures, humans?
sounds like a number of two-legged creatures, Ron.
Okay.
It's not the dragon.
Okay.
As far as you know.
Let's hold this tent. Not literally. Just let's stay here and make it our last stand, if need be.
You see Murko sheepishly letting go of the side of the tent.
I'm glad I cleared that up.
If they are cultists and we are outnumbered, let me negotiate with them. Perhaps if we spare their captain, the leader, they will dissipate.
All right. On that note, it's over to the turn of those footsteps that you've heard. And while two shrubberies are hiding inside this strange tent made out of reinforced ice and black wood, the door, which is made out of a canvas-like material, you hear a tear as an arrow just manages to poke through it, but not hitting anyone.
We've got you surrounded!
You hear shouting from outside the tent. It's now over to Fenna and Caspus.
Fenna is going to cast Cure Wounds as a second level spell on Fabian.
Okay, roll to heal.
That's 2d8. 2 8, so 16 plus 4. 20 healing for Fabian.
That brings Fabian back up to 32 HP out of 55. And if Caspus is not doing anything, then it's over to Shrew, who stood there with the dagger at this paladin's throat.
Shrew's going to get up while still holding this cultist, the big one, still with his knife to his throat. He wants to step out of the tent. I want to be behind the guy. I want to try and hold the guy up. Remember, I'm a buff shrew now. I want to be holding the guy up in front of me like a meat shield. Just want to stay in the tent underneath the top, underneath the fabric that acted as the entry point, enough to be able to see outside. Do I see anyone?
Yes, you see three cultists across the camp.
Okay. Would I be able to shout something out?
I let you shout out something very brief as you step to that entrance.
As you can see, I have your leader. Step down, or he shall cut his throat.
That's all I'll let you throw in. A shrew shouts out. A volley of arrows comes hurtling towards him as the other cultists had held their action. Because of the size difference between shrew and the paladin that he's holding up, I'm going to say you've got 3/4 cover between the edges of the tent and the size difference between you. So the first of these arrows is a 14 to hit, but you've got plus 5 to your AC at the moment. If they miss by 1, I'll say they hit the paladin.
That misses. My armor class now with a plus 5 from the 3/4 cover would be 19.
Ooh. So that first arrow misses. A second arrow misses. The third arrow misses. I haven't rolled very well today. All 4 arrows shatter against this ice tent. From your left, you feel this pain as a crossbow bolt actually makes contact with you. That's 8 piercing damage on Shrew. It's over to Murkob.
Murkob is just gonna stay behind the entrance of the tent, holding his action in case anyone comes closer.
Then it's over to Fabian.
Fabian is doing the same.
Then it's over to these cultists. You see them laugh as one of them shouts out back to you in reply.
He is not worthy of Tiamat if he has fallen to the likes of you. And he's not our leader.
The volley of arrows comes towards Shrew and this paladin. The first one misses with both his attacks. 16 does not hit. And if that doesn't hit, the other one doesn't either. The third cultist. The first shot is a spectacular miss. That was a natural 2. But the second one was an 18 plus 4, which hits. That's a total of 3 piercing damage on Shrew. Shrew feels another bolt strike him. For a total of 6 piercing damage, Shrew catches a sight of a cultist peering out from these bushes towards the upper left of the camp. And just as quickly as you see him, he disappears. It's over to Shrew.
Well, suit yourself then.
And I want to cast Erupt in Earth on those three cultists that are in front of me. The ones that are firing arrows at me.
All right, you want to remind us what it does? It's been a while.
I can choose a point on the ground within range. It's 120 feet. And a fountain of churned earth and stone erupts in a 20-foot cube centered on that point. Each creature in that area must make a dexterity saving throw, and a creature takes 3d12 bludgeoning damage on a failed save.
First one's a 10.
Does not save.
Second one is a 13.
Does not save.
I need to roll the third one again, because I just realized I rolled a d12 instead of a d20.
Damn.
And the third one is an 11.
Does not save. So the three of them take full damage. They each take 15 points of bludgeoning damage. The ground in the area also becomes difficult terrain.
They're all still standing, but they all seem particularly hurt. They seem rather shaken. Is Shrew doing anything else?
For now, I'm staying exactly where I am.
Then it's over to Murkub.
Murkub, seeing as Shrew is starting to attack, and after having heard the cultists, is gonna rush out.
Just as a reminder, Murkub has lost his rage.
And is now exhausted.
Ooh. 1 point of exhaustion, yeah?
Yeah.
That means he'll have disadvantage on ability checks. So his 30 feet movement takes him 45 feet still away from the closest cultist.
Would he be able to use his orcish aggression to get closer?
Yeah, as a bonus, he can use that to close the gap.
He then wants to use his action to dash and close the gap entirely to the first cultist closest to him.
All right, he's there, engaged. So that's the end of Murkub's turn. It's now over to Fabian.
Fabian, having seen Murkub rush out, wants to exit the tent too. Dropping his sword and shield, he wants to equip his short bow, and standing just by Shrew, he wants to try and shoot at one of those cultists. He wants to target and attack the one furthest away, not the one engaged with Murkub.
All right then, roll to attack.
23 to hit.
That hits.
That's 7 damage.
The arrow strikes him in the throat, and he's down and out.
Good. He attacks again, this time at the other one that's furthest away and not engaged with Murkub. 21 to hit.
Yep, that hits.
That's a total of 3 damage.
This one strikes him in the chest, and like his companion, he crumples into the snow.
All right.
Is Fabian using a bonus?
No, he's just going to stay there for now.
Then it's over to the cultists. He's dropping his bow and drawing his sword. The first attack misses Murkub. The second hits with a natural 17, dealing Murkub 6 piercing damage. Murkub is now down to 32 hit points, out of a total maximum of 49. He's not doing too bad. Fabian feels this bolt strike him on his shoulder, dealing him 8 piercing damage. This brings Fabian to 26 HP out of a total max of 55. Again, that's come from those bushes that Shrew had seen the other cultists in. This time he doesn't hide as well, and he's still within sight. It's over to Fenner and Caspus.
Fenner moves out of the tent.
Still on Caspus?
She leaves Caspus behind in the tent. She steps out, up to Fabian, and touches him to cast Cure Wounds as a level 1 spell.
How many spell slots has Fenner got left for our listeners?
She has 1 level 2, and after casting this, 2 level 1s. That's 12 healing for Fabian.
That takes Fabian up to 38 HP out of a maximum of 55.
Using her movement, she wants to head back into the tent.
Alright, it's over to Shrew then.
Can I see the cultist that tried to hide, right?
Yeah, he's not hidden as well this time. This one, you notice, also has a rather ornate dragon mask on the glints with the green hue.
Then I want to cast Erupt in Earth on him as my last level 4 spell. He needs to make a dexterity saving throw.
Dexterity, you say? Oh, he's proficient in this.
I had a feeling he would be.
It's a total of 16.
Just saves. So that's half damage. That's 4d12, as it was a 4th level spell slot. That's 30 halved down to 15.
Wow, high rolling today.
That wasn't too bad. Unfortunately, he saved the roll, but it's something.
And that cube now becomes difficult terrain.
That's right, yeah.
Is Shrew doing anything else?
He's walking closer, carrying the big cultist still towards the cultist I just attacked. The one trying to hide by the bushes.
Are you using your full movement?
As much as I can, yeah. I imagine I'm half movement as I'm carrying this lug of a person.
All right. You managed to make your way a little closer. Still a significant gap between you. 70 feet, to be precise. It's now to Murkub.
Murkub is going to rage and attack the cultist in front of him. 21 to hit.
That hits.
7 damage.
He's down and out for the count.
I imagine he's also heard the erupting earth, the second one Shrew has cast. And he could see that there's a cultist there as well.
Yes, he can.
Then he wants to use his movement to get closer to that one too.
Okay, just as a reminder, he can't actually use his Orcish Aggression as a bonus because he actually uses a bonus to Rage. So that takes him to about 20 feet away from this other cultist.
Okay, so he stays there. He stays put.
Then it's over to Fabian.
Fabian is going to get closer to the cultist that they all see now, trying to hide behind the shrub, and wants to try and fire an arrow from there.
All right, roll to attack.
11 to hit.
That does not hit.
He goes again with the arrow. Natural 20.
It's your third natural 20 of the night.
Not bad. 11 total damage. I rolled a 5.
It's over to this cultist then. He's using his action to dash away, back the way that he had come from. And then he's using his bonus to also dash. So he's currently 85 feet away from Murkub, who's the closest one to him. It's now to Shrew.
How far would he be from Shrew, the cultist that's running away?
From Shrew, he's 150 feet away.
Shrew wants to drop the cultist at this point, use his movement to close the gap as much as he can to the fleeing cultist.
So using Shrew's normal movement, that takes him to 125 feet away.
I want to use my action to get closer still.
So dashing, yeah?
Yes.
The full range of your movement?
Yes.
That takes you to 100 feet.
That's my turn then.
So over to Murkub.
Murkub wants to use his movement to get closer.
That gets him to 55 feet.
He then wants to use his bonus action to use your Orcish Aggression and get closer to him still.
He's now 35 feet away.
How hurt is this cultist looking as he's running away?
Looks a little wounded, but nothing too bad. He's still rushing away, looking rather healthy.
Murkub stops running and just gives up the chase. Turns around, uses his action to get back to his party.
Well, I can't catch him, Shrew. Little bug's too fast.
Yes, yes. Unfortunately, none of us will be able to catch him. Good job. It doesn't matter. It's unfortunate, but it's what it is.
What was that all about, Shrew?
What do you mean?
You know exactly what I mean. You were supposed to go just scouting and you triggered something. You
Well, it's not my fault. I mean, it was a trap.
I mean, look at that damn totem.
Yes.
It's got wounds carved into it.
Well, I...
Of all the places you could have stopped.
Well, that was my intention, to knock it over. I didn't know what it did. I perhaps thought it was to summon something or give strength to these cultists. I didn't know it was going to shoot eyes from it. Anyway, you are standing right in front of it. You didn't think to warn me of such a totem and its powers? Oh, in hindsight, everyone knows what the totem does now, of course.
Look at it, for God's sake. And then you dropped that bloody hulk on me.
Well, that wasn't my fault. It attacked me. You are standing in the way, Fabian. Anyway, it's not time to quarrel and squabble around amongst us. We need to think of our next move. We have a cultist going back to who knows what they're doing up there. How many are left? And we have this big cultist thing unconscious.
What are we going to do with him, Shrew?
I thought to question him. Obviously. See what we are up against, what they're doing. I don't know if he'll talk, if there's much sense to this.
Oh, they didn't seem too bothered about him.
No, but perhaps he can give us numbers and a reason why they're here.
Then what?
We know what we are up against, Fenner. Intel.
I mean, what are we going to do with him?
Well, we'll kill him. Or he can join us in the fight against the dragon.
Give me a religion check for Fenner.
Natural one.
Fenner knows nothing.
Would Shrew know, seeing as he's proficient?
Shrew would know enough to safely assume that these cultists aren't here to kill the dragon.
Oh, yeah, yeah, he knows that. He knows about... I think he mentioned it last episode, that cultists were probably trying to turn the dragon to the camp, sort of, like, make them part of their cult or whatever and serve Tiamat.
So now then, what? What are we doing?
I don't know. I need to think about this. But we need to get out of here, in case more come. Let's go to Dingle Dick's secret entrance. We need to lick our wounds. We need to rest up.
Suppose we should tie up your new friend then.
Yes. Search the camp for anything. Also the bodies. See what they have. If we can find any rope, any chains, anything that can keep this guy well secured so that he doesn't run away.
Well, we have rope.
Yes, but let's search for something more sturdy than rope.
Okay, roll investigation. I'll say just do it once with advantage, and that's your party searching. And you can add your highest investigation score.
If it's a one, can I re-roll it?
If you're using Shrew, yes.
Yes. 18 total.
You find a total of 66 gold pieces and various coinage. You also find a number of javelins and a couple of quivers, bedrolls. But you also find this potion in an ornate glass bottle. It seems to have this strange contents within it. This orange, almost golden-like liquid. It seems to have gas mixed in there with it as well, swirling around the bottle. It's quite a bulbous bottom, and then a long, thin stem, on top of which is an ornate cap.
Would I have any idea what this does?
This is the first time you've seen this kind of a potion. Roll me a d4 as well, please. Just to know how long we've got before this cultist wakes up.
4 hours. Well, four. I rolled a four. So I imagine 4 hours. I obviously take the potion, and I also would think Murkub, damning the fact that he didn't really have any ranged weapon after this encounter as a cultist, got away from him. He's probably gonna pick up those javelins and keep them. Also, we will probably keep the quivers so that Fabian has more arrows.
Okay.
Would I have found any materials or anything, any cages or any better ropes than the ones we have, or chains of the sort, cuffs?
No, there's no manacles, no chains. There's some rope, but no different to the rope you have already.
Tell you what, I have half a mind of ending this person's misery right here and right now. I don't expect we're gonna learn much from him, and nothing much more than we know, and I surely don't want to risk him escaping.
That would be quite dangerous. He did seem quite strong.
Yes. And if he attacks us again whilst we are killing the dragon, that's going to be a disaster.
I agree. His companions didn't seem to care much for him either, so little use using him as bait or as an offering.
The only problem is I don't like doing this. It's one thing killing someone in hand-to-hand combat. Another thing is doing it whilst they're unconscious.
Well, if you close your eyes, I can do the deed.
Fenner, what do you say?
I guess, really, I agree with you. Sure, in battle, it's one thing, but in cold blood. Then again, something tells me that neither he or the other cultists would hesitate to do that to us.
Maybe say a little prayer or something for your god, and maybe, I don't know, if he worships Tiamat, I suppose that's where he wants to end up. So, in a way, if you ask for forgiveness for his soul, then we're kind of doing him dirty, in a way, I imagine. But I think it's something he would appreciate when he opens his eyes to the reality that is worshipping demons, dragons, devils, that sort of thing. Worshipping evil is no good. So maybe bless his soul before Murkub finishes him off.
Did he have any weapons that we could use? Like, the weapon he was using, was it any good?
Looked like a nice blade. And his armor is that black plated armor, which is pretty good. It is emblazoned, though, with Tiamat's symbol, as is his shield.
Yeah, probably Fabian wouldn't want to wear that. What about the sword?
You can take the sword if you want it.
Yeah, I'll probably take the sword and check it out whilst we rest, if we can.
You can rest if you want. Are you resting in this camp or are you moving on?
No. After all of this is over, we are moving on towards the shortcut that we read in Dominic Dingledick's book.
All right, Fenner starts saying a little prayer to Segerjan as Murkub walks up to this cultist and holds his scimitar up to his throat.
You might want to look away, Shrew.
Oh, I'm gone. I've already, whilst Fenner was saying the prayer, I've already moved away, starting to kind of get my thoughts together and deciding which way exactly we're going on all that.
A moment passes.
It's done. He won't be coming back to hurt us.
Thank you, Murkub. It's unfortunate, but it has to be done. Anyway, let's carry on up the mountain. We have a date with Destiny. A date with a dragon. We should rest up, but let's find a safe spot to do so. Perhaps we can go undetected through the shortcut. Let's see if we find a place to camp before we attack the dragon.
So you want to head back towards that slope that you saw?
Yeah.
Are you trying to make camp in the hold itself, or are you trying to make camp somewhere at the foot of that slope?
I want to see what we find as we go up. I want to go up stealthily, slowly, take our time with it, and see what we find. Obviously, I'd like to camp inside the actual hold, but if we get close to it and see people around and all that, perhaps we'll have to turn around and find a better place. Before we head off, I also want to cast Pass Without a Trace.
Okay, that adds 10 to your stealth rolls, yeah?
That's right.
Okay, then give me those blind stealth rolls then.
All right, here goes. I'm rolling all of them at once.
And roll again for Shrew, because he's got an advantage with those elven boots. So Shrew Shrubbery start making their way back the way they came. The air frigid, biting at your exposed skin, like a thousand icy needles, as the wind howls through the ravines of the frozen mountains. After a short while, you stand at the foot of the steep incline that from the descriptions of Dingledick's book, you interpret to lead up towards Icespire Hold and that secret entrance. Are you going up?
I haven't seen anything yet, right?
No cultists, no... nothing other than that piece of metal that you saw. And having got close enough, you now can see that it is indeed one of those toboggans.
Does this area look sheltered at all, or it's wide open?
There's some rocky crevices and the odd couple of trees. It's quite sparse up here compared to the previous areas you've been in. But you could take some cover against the cliff walls, perhaps near some of the trees.
Yeah, but more like I wouldn't be very well hidden, right?
No, this is a slope that goes straight up with cliffs on either side and the fortress overlooking you.
When I go up the slope then.
You begin to climb. This ascent to Icespire Hold seems like a daunting challenge, as the snowy terrain seems to defy every step. You continue your climb, finding some secure footholds as you make your way up. As you continue your ascent, the wind seems to grow fiercer, carrying with it now a flurry of snowflakes that stings your faces. Yet our heroes press on, their breath visible in the freezing air. The slope now begins to get steeper, almost as if the mountain seems to resist your intrusion, as if it's testing your resolve. Give me an athletics check for each of the party members.
Well, can I do something to help me climb if I see that it's getting very steep?
You can.
It's going to be kind of long-winded. Would that be okay? Is it something I could do as I encounter this steepness? I say, okay, hold on. We need to do this.
Yeah, you can see that it's clearly getting steeper and steeper, so...
All right. So I would turn around.
This ascent is getting steeper by the minute. Fabian, hand me your rope. Let's tie ourselves together as we did yesterday whilst we traversed the blizzard.
Is that a wise shrew?
Yes.
If one of us falls, we all fall.
No. I have this.
And I take out my immovable rod.
And what are you going to do with that?
Well, I will go in front. I will use this as a handle of sorts. I will put it in place to help us pull us up. Then I will deactivate it when we find a good footing, and then put it in place again and pull us up again. This should help us with a steep ascent. If anyone slips, I'll be holding on to the immovable rod. It should be okay.
It's a good idea, Shrew.
Oh yes, of course. It's a good idea. I'm full of good ideas.
Well.
Anyway, let's carry on.
All right, given your plan, I won't ask you to roll those athletics checks. And so you continue again on your way up, executing your plan. With every step, I spy a hold looms closer. An ancient fortress standing as a testament to those challenges that you've faced so far. And that final challenge that awaits you. And yet you press on, your determination pushing you on to conquer the frozen mountain. As you're reaching the summit of this slope, you can see a breathtaking vista of ice by hold, the light reflecting off the towers of ice on the mountainsides, creating a mesmerizing display of beauty. The sky above you is a clear, vast expanse of icy blue. You feel a sudden hush descend upon the mountainous landscape. The wind, once a constant companion, seems to still, as if nature itself is holding its breath in anticipation. High above you, you catch a glimpse of the ice dragon emerging from the heavens. Scales gleam like a polished glazier of ice, refracting the sunlight in a dazzling display of prismatic hues. With each powerful beat of its immense wings, the dragon soars effortlessly, casting an ominous colossal shadow over shrew shrubberies beneath him on the pristine white landscape. Your heads turn skyward, beholding this colossal creature as it circles the peak with an air of regal authority. The beating of its wings sends a gust of frigid air sweeping down the slopes. You catch some of your party members tightening their cloaks against a sudden chill. The dragon's presence feels ancient, force of nature that transcends mortal understanding. Its wings continue to beat with a rhythmic cadence, echoing through the mountain air like the drumming heart of the wilderness. Your companions, halted by this awe-inspiring sight, can see the dragon's destination as it circles above Ice by Hold. The sight of this ice dragon, both beautiful and foreboding, lingers over you and your companions like an ancient omen, a symbol of the ultimate challenge that awaits you and your companions at the summit of Ice by Hold. And that's where we're going to call it a session. You're finally there.
Oof. It's getting real.
It's getting real, real.
Yeah, I can almost touch the dragon now. So close. So close. I think maybe next episode we'll get there.
Well, next episode for sure you'll be in Ice by Hold. And now you know that the dragon is there.
We're just seeing him land. I hope he didn't notice us.
He doesn't seem to have taken any heed of you.
Maybe he saw us, but doesn't really care. We'll see.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode, and that you tune in next week as we finally breach Ice by Hold. But if you want some more Into the Dungeon before then, be sure to visit our website, www.i2td.com, and follow our links there to all our good stuff. Got our social media feeds, our Discord channel. We've also got our Buy Me a Coffee page, where in exchange for one of our membership tiers, you can get some access to a little smorgasbord of bonus episodes, where we reflect on the sessions we've just played. What we're going to do now, when we finish recording this episode, we're going to hop on over into the studio. And whilst you're there, why not purchase an item or a potion? Your donation helps the podcast continue to grow, and also appears in-game, giving you a chance to be a part of the stories we tell.
If you cannot donate or wish not to, do not worry, you can still help us out by visiting all our social media. You'll find the links at our website, like Nick well said, i2td.com. Also, perhaps join Discord, where you can find us on a daily there. And why not leave, you know, some reviews, some comments on your podcast player of choice, maybe even on YouTube, check us out there. So if you do that, it helps us tremendously too, so thank you very much. Before we move on though, I want to give my sincere apologies to our listeners for my unprofessional behavior. Last episode, where I decided to abandon Nick at this very crucial moment of our episode, the ending part, very crucial, and I couldn't hold, I couldn't take it. I felt I felt attacked. I felt disrespected. So I had to drop the mic, drop the headphones, and leave.
Yeah, you left everything. Your phone, your dice, yeah. Your tablets, everything.
I had to come back for them. But yeah, apologies for that. It won't happen again. I promise. Unless Nick pulls one of those again. Then it might happen.
It could very well happen, because based on the last few big fights, I seriously doubt the final showdown is going to be a one episode.
Well, you never know. Maybe I have some tricks up my sleeve to defeat this dragon quickly.
Well, you're going to have to take a rest in this fortress.
Yeah.
With the dragon above you.
Well.
And some cultists still around.
Yeah. It'll be fine.
And who knows what else awaits you in Ice Spy Hold.
It'll be good.
Be entertaining for sure.
Anyway, with that out of the way, I think that leads us on to the end of the episode club, the last one standing, where we give you a password and then you use said password in a comment section somewhere where you can find us, be it X or our Discord, maybe YouTube, and then, you know, we'll read them and decide which is the winner. Do you have a password for us today, Nick?
Of course I do.
Well, let us know.
The password today is Tip the Scales.
Ooh. You care to explain it?
Yeah. You are now at a point where the history of the Sword Coast could be tipped in the scales in one way or another. And also a nice little nod to that description I gave of the dragon and his scales.
Yes. And also another little nod to the fact that Shu has to get a scale of the dragon to take to his mentor, Cinemas.
So there you have it. Tip the scales. Look forward to reading your entries and to hopefully see you next week again. We're almost there as we face the Dragon of Ice by Peak and we delve
into the dungeon.
It's a total of 16 healing damage.
So unfortunate. It's unfortunate, but
casting an ominous and colossal shadow over Shrew's shrubberies. Casting an ominous